So I want to welcome you to this Sunday night Bible study on this rainy Sunday, at least here in New York. And thank you for deciding to spend some time with me as we go through the scripture. May God speak to all of us through his word. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we are in a portion of scripture where Paul is speaking to Timothy, instructing Timothy regarding the role of men and women in church. And as we opened up this section last Sunday, we started looking at six characteristics of our six elements which Paul presents to us regarding a woman's place in the church. Woman's responsibility, and just to quickly give you the rundown on the six of them, we did not finish all of them. Paul speaks to us about appearance, belief, testimony, duty, purpose, and a woman's contribution to the church and to the ministry. Now today, what we are about to read, and we are in a portion of scripture that is highly controversial, right? This is a very hotly debated portion of scripture. People are passionate about this, and there are people who fall on both sides of the aisle. This is not about men versus women, because there are women who strongly support what the Paul says, and there are men who strongly oppose what the Paul says. Right, and what we are going to address today is verses 11 and 12, and I'm going to try my best to teach you what my understanding of this scripture is. And as I said, this is one of the portion of scripture that I often get asked about. People are really interested in knowing what this really means, and I think it comes from the fact the world that we live in, and the role of the woman in a secular society, the advancement that has been made, and as far as the woman's place in the society, and many feel that should equate or that should transfer to the church. But for the church, the authority is the word of God, and we follow the word of God. And so I've been praying about this teaching, and I hope you guys say a quick prayer for me right now silently. Whatever I have to say, I say it gracefully in a loving manner. I do not mean to offend any of my sisters. This is not about belittling women, or this is not about this is not about insulting anyone, right? Because the scripture is very clear about the role of a man and a woman, right? There is what is being said here, as I had mentioned to you last time, this applies to an official assembly of God, a church setting. Whatever is going to be said today does not apply in a secular world. Okay. Having said that, scripture is very, very clear that men and women are equal. There is nowhere in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation where it even suggests that man is superior or woman is inferior to men. Okay. And that's important for us to remember. It is very important for us to remember this. Okay, so this is not me, this is not Paul being a male chauvinist, or it is not about, him discriminating against women. This is what God spoke to Paul. This is as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. This is Holy Spirit writing. And I think we need to understand that. Okay, now when we look at this When we look at this portion of scripture, and I think a couple of words that we have a real problem with, okay, is the word silence, right? And the permit. So let me actually just read a couple of verses here. Verse 11, it says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Let a woman learn in a silence with all submission, and do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men, but to be in silence." You see, it's in both places. You see in verse 11, the word silence is used. In verse 12, as the instructions are ended, the word silence is used again. So once again, the focus of this portion or this couple of verses is silence. Now, does that mean, right, there are two extremes on that. Does that mean that when a woman walks into a church, she's not to say a word? Obviously, that's not the meaning of this portion of scripture, right? The other meaning they say is the word peaceable, that that women can, what Paul means by silence is there need to be a peaceable. They have to have a gentle voice, and that's how they are to speak. That is not being said that over here either, okay? So it's important for us to understand what is being said over here. Now, our focus is always that let women learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit women to teach. The important part that we miss in this whole equation is where it says, let a woman learn. Okay, let women learn. Now, when you look at that word learn, and when you look at the root word, for disciple, they are the same word, meaning that women are to be discipled. Okay, now when you look at the society at this time, okay, if you look at a Jewish culture or if you look at a Greek culture, the women were not even a second class citizen; they were like a third or a fourth class citizen, right? A Jewish man would probably say that that when they would pray to God, saying, "Thank God that he did not make me a dog, he did not make me a Gentile, or he did not make me a woman." So this is how they thought of women. Greek culture was no better, okay? They were just a commodity. There was never even an idea about women being educated. And we know even in today, some of the nations who follow Islam, what the condition of the woman is, right? There are girls, if you look at a nation like Afghanistan, where women are not, girls are not allowed to go to school, I believe, after 9th or 10th grade. Okay, and that's not just one nation. If you look at, there are many nations around the world where the women's progress is hindered, okay? So now, when you look at it, look back all the way, when Paul is writing here, he's actually saying to Timothy and to the elders at that time that women are to learn, they are to be discipled, they have to know what we are learning. Okay, they have an equal right to know. Now, when we look at this, this is not a foreign concept, or this is not something that came with the church age. If you look at the Old Testament, in terms of spiritual life and a blessing men and women women had, it was equal. Okay, this is not, as I said, this is not just a New Testament truth. This is true for the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you today what the Old Testament teaches us about the role of a woman in the in that society, and thus what it should be in the New Testament church. Okay? Again, I will repeat, nowhere in the scripture the Bible says man is superior or woman is inferior to men. Okay? Nowhere in the Bible it says that. That is a man-made thing. That is the worldly stuff, worldly tradition that seeped into Judaism, and they treated women like a second-class citizen. In the Old Testament, women had equality in the spiritual matters. In the spiritual matters, there was equality. And I'm going to show you that, okay? Old Testament elevated women alongside men in an equal position of spiritual life and spiritual blessing. And I'll start out at very, very beginning. Okay, if you go to Exodus chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 20, when the law is given, okay, law is given. The law was not given only to a man. It was given to both men and women. You obey the law, you are blessed. That blessing was not just for a man. It wasn't that if a man obeyed, that his whole family would be blessed. Women were required to keep the law just as much as the men, right? So this is an individual relationship that we are so familiar with in the church age, okay? The most important feast that the Jews kept is Passover, right? Passover was celebrated by both. It was celebrated by both. It's not that the only men celebrated Passover. Okay, when we come to the penalty of sin, when you look at that law, starting with Exodus chapter 19 and all the law that has been given, right? The very first thing that the law deals with is the right of a woman in her father's house, in the society, and so forth. That is the very first thing that the law addresses. When you look at the penalty for the sin, that was equal. It is not that women was punished more or the penalty was more. Okay? Penalty for sin was equal. The value of life of a man and woman was equal. And when I say this and you are like, okay, that's fine. That's how it should be. But that's not how it was when you look at the pagan nation at that time. As I told you, women were treated as badly as you can imagine, okay? There was no place for a woman in that society at that time. So when I tell you that these are equal, it's important for us to understand. And it's important for us to understand that the equality in the spiritual matter as we look at this text in front of us in Timothy chapter 2. As I said, the value of life was equal. And I'll give you a verse just to illustrate my point here. If you look at Exodus chapter 21, verse 28, look what it says over there. It says, if an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned. And it goes on to give the regulation for that. You see, it says, if he gores a man or a woman, equal value for the life. The other thing, and this might come as a surprise to many of you, one of the most important that you can make as a Jew was a Nazirite, right? We know that Samson was a Nazirite. This comes in Numbers chapter 6. Now, when you look at that Nazirite vow, what you find is women were allowed to keep, or women could take a Nazirite vow as well. Okay? Look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 2. It says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or a woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of Nazirite. You see, equality even in that matter, in the spiritual matter. When they want to serve, when they want to worship, they want to be alone, because the whole purpose was to separate himself or herself to the Lord. Alone time with God. So this kind of a high level of spiritual commitment were not in any way, in any form, restricted just to men. Just to men. As I have been saying, equality in terms of spiritual life and responsibility. Okay? Now, when it comes to children, okay? And we are all familiar with Proverbs. Okay, I'm only going to give you one verse from Proverbs, which is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, right? And there are many verse 8 says this, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. You see that? It's not that the father was responsible for teaching the children or the son. The mother is right there, right? What does that tell us? That both were responsible to teach. And it also tells us that both had to know the law in order to teach. Right? Both of them, again, here we see equality, that both mother and father had to be walking with the Lord. They had to know the law. And so there is no differences between a man and woman. Now, when we look at the role of the woman in the Old Testament, right? God appeared to many women. Starting with Genesis chapter 3, he appeared to Eve. Okay, he appeared to Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 18, he appeared to Sarah. He appeared to Samson's mother. There are many, many examples of God appearing to women, instructing them, speaking to them, encouraging them, speaking blessing over them directly. There was no man there, okay? If you look at service, we see Hannah was in the temple praying, right? So the women had that access to the temple. When you go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, I think in the 60s, it tells you that there were 250. There was a choir of 250 people made up of men and women. So women were part of the service, in worship. You look at Exodus chapter 38 over there. It tells you that women sat at the door. So there was some responsibility they had in that temple worship. So the point that I am trying to illustrate to you here is women had an equal opportunity to serve God. They were equal participant in the blessing, the spiritual responsibility, and so forth. So when we come to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the portion of scripture that we are looking at, right, it is speaking of a different role, okay? Now, those of us who are familiar with rank, right? If you are in the armed forces, you know that there is a rank. Your rank doesn't mean that the person who's above you is more valuable, okay, or more intelligent. It does not mean that they are a better person than you. It just means they have a higher rank than you. And as a higher rank, how the organization is set up, okay, they have authority over you in that sense. Okay, this is not something that is new to us. Look, when we sit in the church, we recognize the authority of the pastor. Not all of, right, spiritually, we are all equal. Right, it's not that a pastor has a special portion of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that ministers to him ministers to us. As spiritual, we are all men. Okay, we are all fallen men. We all have the same Savior. We all came to God in the same way. But on that Sunday morning, when he has that authority of he's standing on the pulpit, we sit and we listen. We have no problem with that role. Right? Doesn't make him a better man. But somehow when we get into the 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have a problem with this role and this kind of an arrangement, okay? At your work, there is, in your organization, there are people, there are supervisors, there are managers, that depending on where you are on that ladder, you have to take your instructions, your orders from the person above you, your supervisor. That doesn't make your supervisor smarter or a better person. That's his position. Matter of fact, many of us know sometimes people who are in that position are not the smartest people in the world, right? So why do we have such a problem when Paul talks to us here about a role of a woman? That does not make men superior spiritually to a woman. This is the model that God has put in place. This is the model that God has put in place. Now, let me give you some facts, okay? There are no women kings listed in the king of Israel or the king of Judah, meaning neither in the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom, there has never been a woman king, okay? There is no mention of any woman priest in the entire Old Testament. Not a single priest is mentioned who was a woman. There was no woman who wrote a book or even a portion of a book in the Old Testament. There are two that are named after women, but they did not write it. Okay, obviously we know Ruth and Esther. There is no woman in the entire Old Testament who had an ongoing prophetic ministry. And this brings me to the objection this portion of scripture. Okay, so let me present to you a couple of objections that come up. Okay, but before I go there, let me just finish up with this: no women, right? Just like Old Testament, there are no women preacher in New Testament. There is no women pastor mentioned. There is not a woman elder mentioned. There is no woman evangelist mentioned. Again, no women wrote a single sentence in the 27 books of New Testament. You see, God is showing us what his requirement is. Okay? By the way, there is, in all these times when there is a lot of research being done, there has never been any document found. There has never been any evidence found that there was anything that a woman has wrote that would be considered a teaching. When we look at the church fathers, and when we look at the documents in the early church, there has never been found a single piece of evidence that suggested the women led as pastors or as teacher, even in the early church. Right, early church. Now, one of the verses that often comes in the defense or against this portion of scripture, and God is amazing, because just earlier in this week, I got a little article from this pastor. Okay, he basically said that anyone who takes this portion of scripture literally, and he used a word that I cannot really use, and he was just calling out all these men that they are narrow-minded people who think like me, or pastors who teach in this sense are narrow-minded, and why it is such a wrong teaching. And the words that whenever you hear people in favor of having a women senior pastors is Galatians chapter 3 verse 28. Okay. Where it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, but there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And basically they take this verse out of context, and they say that, look, once we are Christian, once we come to know Christ, there is no gender anymore. Well, that's not true at all. And especially if you read Galatians chapter 3 in the context that it is written, you will see, as you read from verse 9 all the way down to verse 28, what you see is it's clearly speaking of the salvation, who we are in Christ. When we come to Christ, doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Greek, doesn't matter if you are a slave or not, whether you are male or female, it doesn't matter who you are, we all come to Christ the same way, and we have a salvation in the same manner, right? A person who's a slave, who becomes a Christian, doesn't suddenly become, he's still a slave. Now he's a Christian slave. That's all it means. It does not justify having women teach in a position of a senior pastor. Now, again, when I say this, I just want to remind all of you again that there are ministry opportunity for women. They are allowed to teach other women. They are allowed to teach children. They are allowed to teach in a home. Now, that's another thing, right? Are women allowed to evangelize? You are able to share whatever you want to share with others, including men. We have an example of Priscilla and Aquila, in the book of Acts, who actually instructed an Apollos, the men in their home. Okay, by the way, Priscilla and Phoebe are two women who are presented as in a defense that, look, they had a prominent role. Yes, they were active in the ministry. They were not teachers. Nowhere does it say that they led a congregation. Nowhere does it says that they taught. Okay? And none of this means that men and women are not allowed to pray together. Some of you sisters, some of you are listening, we have prayed together. We have prayed over each other. We have prayed over other people, right? That this is, I just want to remind you again, this is just about an official assembly. This is speaking to us about a church setting, okay? This does not mean that women cannot share gospel with someone. That does not mean any of those things, okay? Matter of fact, you know, when we gather as men and women and we worship and we pray, it's a great time. And I know some of you women and some of my sisters, that you guys are probably better teacher than I am. You guys are probably you have a wonderful spiritual connection with God, and your prayers are very spirit filled. It's not about, it's the point here is not that. This is having an authority in the church as a senior pastor. This is what being addressed here. And my time is running out. So let me just give you a couple of objections that often, are presented. And so one of the first thing is, that Paul restricted women from teaching because in that time, in the first century, women were totally, they were typically uneducated and they didn't know, okay? They couldn't read or write or anything, and thus Paul restricted women at that time. Well, that's a bunch of baloney, okay? Because education is not mentioned anywhere. We will see a reason why he restricts them here, okay? But nowhere education is mentioned. And if education was important, okay, if that was one of the criteria to be in a ministry or to be in a pastor, then most of the disciples would be disqualified. If that was required, most of the disciples would be disqualified because they were not educated men. They were fishermen, right? So this is not about education, okay? And anyway, when you look at, if you look at the scripture and the ministry of teaching, that teaching comes from the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with your education, okay? Even today, education is not required. So that just doesn't apply. The second common objection is Paul only restricted the women in the church of Ephesus because it was a problem in the church of Ephesus. Okay? Now, how you come to that conclusion? I have no idea, because nowhere is it suggested that this was only for the church of Ephesus. And if you start playing that game, then what else are you going to take out of the scripture and say, hey, this only applied to the church of Colossians. It doesn't apply to us anymore, right? This could be done with anything. This could be done with anything. Right. This is what the LGBT community says. Oh, that was for that time. It's never said there. It's not meant to be here. So how are you going to judge the scripture and say, oh, this part is only for the church of Ephesus, but everything else that came before, raising the holy hands and all of the instruction and everything that comes after, that was for everybody. But this particular verse was only for church of Ephesus. That does not satisfy me either. Okay, and we are not to be the judge of the word. We are to be the we just have to obey the word. So I do not see anywhere here where it says that this is only for the church of Ephesus. Okay, the third objection that we have, okay, or third explanation sometimes you hear is Paul is only referring to husband and wives, not men and women in general. Again, when you read the scripture in context, you will see how bogus of an argument that is, okay? Because the same word that is used here is used in verse 8, okay, and verse 9. So were only husbands supposed to raise their holy hands and pray everywhere, lifting their holy hands? Were only the wives had to dress in a certain way? Or was the instruction for all women and all men? So you see, that doesn't, it doesn't work either. And then one of the other defense, so to speak, is people always take you back to Old Testament, and they talk to you about the prophetess that are mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay. Now let me tell you, there is no prophetess mentioned in the Old Testament who had an ongoing prophetic ministry. I'm going to repeat myself. There is not a single prophetess mentioned in either Old Testament or a New Testament who had an ongoing prophetic ministry. You look at Isaiah, you look at Jeremiah, you look at those prophets. Isaiah prophesied during four kings, okay? And this is important to know. So there are five prophetesses mentioned in the Bible, okay? And let me give you who they were, okay? The first woman who is mentioned as a prophetess is Miriam, Moses' sister. It's mentioned in Exodus chapter 15:20, okay? What did she do that makes her a prophetess? She led a bunch of women in a great hymn. Because the word prophet or prophetess or to prophecy means to speak forth. So the only time, only incident that we have of Miriam doing that is Exodus chapter 15:20, leading women into him. That's what made her a prophetess. No ongoing prophetic ministry. The second prophetess that is mentioned in the scripture is Deborah, Judges chapter 4. What did she do? One time, God gave her a specific word for one man, Barak. That is all we have. That's the only thing we have on Deborah. That was her prophetic ministry. The third one that is mentioned is Huldah. And you find her in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14, and 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 22. And she gave a revelation to the priest named Hilkiah about coming judgment on Judah. And that's it. There is no other mention of her prophetic ministry. There is a one prophetess that is mentioned in Nehemiah, but she's considered a false prophetess, so I'm not even going to give you her name. And the fifth prophetess that is mentioned is Isaiah's wife, the prophet Isaiah's wife in chapter 8 of Isaiah. And you know what is her prophecy? She gave birth to a child whose name had a prophetic meaning. And that is why she is called a prophetess. Okay? Again, I remind you, none of them had a prophetic, ongoing prophetic ministry. And them speaking forth for a God does not make them, or give them a right or equate to a woman being a pastor in a church. Okay? If we are going to compare the position, then the high priest position would be equal to a senior pastor. Okay? And as I mentioned to you before, there has never been a single woman who was a high priest. Okay? It's not a single woman who was a high priest. So the two words that I mentioned to you, and I'm out of time, but let me give you one word, and I think this is a word that bothers a lot of people. Right? It says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men, but to be in silence." You see the word "permit"? That's a very right where we get the word "permission" from. In itself, I'm going to tell you what it means. But in itself, it suggests when you need a permission, that means there is a restriction, right? So the word, it always means to allow someone to do what they desire to do. So there is a built-in idea in that someone desires to do something, or what Paul is saying here is, I do not permit women to teach or usurp authority, in another translation. And by that word and the way he says it, it suggests, right, that there was a problem in that church and is still in problem today, because there are even women today who desire to teach and preach in the church and to take authority, okay, to take authority over men. And women have always desired to rule. Indulge me with a couple of minutes so we can finish this up, okay? Because the reason that Paul gives here, right? I'm going to trust you guys that you are going to read it up to the verse 15. It gives us the reason it is given to us here is that Eve was deceived, right? The first reason it is given is Adam was formed first and Eve second, right? Eve was created for men to be a helper, okay? This is the order God decided. If you don't like it, take it up with God, okay? This is the order from Genesis. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Right? Men, above men is Christ. Above Christ is God the Father. And then it gives us a reason that the woman was deceived, being deceived, fell into transgression. And perhaps that's the reason why they are restricted from holding this position. One of the consequences of eating that fruit, okay, was that you are going to play this role. This is one of the consequences. That's what Paul says. He doesn't say because she's uneducated or they are weaker or whatever the case might be. He ties it directly to Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. And I'm going to show you I'm going to give you two verses and we are going to close. Genesis chapter 3 verse 16, look what it says, okay? To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire, that is the same word that is associated with the word permit, right? There is a desire associated with it. That there is a desire to preach. There is a desire to be a head honcho. We all have that, right? That your desire shall be your husband. And that word desire, when you look a little word search, what it says is to take control, to have authority over. It says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And in the same manner, the only other place the same word for desire is used in the scripture is Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And look what it says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? This is God speaking to Cain, okay? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. You see, and its desire is for you. That is the same desire that we are speaking of here in verse 11 and verse 12. The word usurp, okay? Usurp the authority. That word is authente. It's only used here in the scripture, only place in the New Testament, okay, that this word is used. But when you do a little bit of a word search and you look at how it is used in the secular world, okay, it means to have authority over. And so what Paul is saying is this, this women desire to have an authority over women, which is unbiblical. That does not match the order, okay? And that is the great plan that Satan has implemented in the world, right? This equality under the notion of equality. Yes, as I showed you from Old Testament, that as far as the spiritual matters, as far as the spiritual blessing, there is no distinction between a man and a woman. They are equal in all manner. There are different roles. And we have no problem with different roles in our day-to-day life. Even in your house, if you are married, you have roles. Okay? That's how the world functions. When Paul talks to us about the body of Christ, right? Not everybody, I cannot do what the ears can do. The legs cannot do what the arms can do. Each one of us have an assigned role. And the body functions well when when everybody does what role they are assigned. And so what I will say is this, okay? Should you attend a church where there is a woman senior pastor? And in a simple word, and I will close with this, if a church is openly disobeying God's word in this matter, it shows you that that church does not take the authority of Scripture seriously. And if they are compromising themselves in this matter, a clear biblical teaching, okay, a clear biblical teaching regarding leadership in the church, what else are they compromising? What else are they compromising? So I would really think long and hard, if you do happen to attend a church where there is a woman pastor, that pastor is in a disobedience to the word of God. And if she's in a disobedience of the word of God, how can you sit under her olive tree and learn? Would you learn, or would you attend a church from a senior pastor who's openly gay? Because you understand that commandment, that that is a sin. Right? So why would we sit at some and learn at a place where the pastor who is supposed to guide you, shepherd you, lead you into the truth, right, is in a disobedience of a clear biblical truth? This is something if you attend a certain church, you need to think about and pray about. And again, to my sisters, this is in no way I'm trying to belittle you, okay? But this is what the scripture says. Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that whatever I have said, Lord, I have said it in grace, in a loving manner, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that the truth would reach to those who need to hear it, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if I have been insensitive, Lord, if in any way I have been harsh, forgive me, Lord. And despite my shortcoming, Lord, let the word do the work that is intended to do, Lord. And Lord, if I have misrepresented anything or misspoken, forgive me for that as well, Lord. And so I just lift up each and every person here into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.